like to do is probably start with just some introduction and then take it from there.
My name is Carl. I go to English High School in Jamaica Plain, and I am a freshman.
I'm Jeffrey Turner, and I'm with the Touch the Future program.
I'm Ivana Morris. I'm a sophomore at Winnenbush High School.
I'm Ashley Bernard. I'm a sophomore at Stoughton High School.
I'm Judy Van Ingen, and I'm with the Touch the Future program with Jeffrey.
My name is Nicole Bird. I'm a sophomore.
I'm Julia.
Junior.
I'm Diane Bird. I'm Nicole's mom.
Diane Bird, nice to meet you.
Hi, I'm Bonnie Bernard.
Bonnie Bernard, nice to meet you. You all should have IEPs, Individualized Educational Plans. Yeah. You should all have one. And one of the things you should definitely do with your plans, your ed plans, is to have them try to be written to incorporate the entire calendar year as opposed to school year. And the reason I say that, especially for sophomores and juniors, is that there are training programs that are offered like places like the Carroll Center and Perkins School for the Blind that can benefit you during the summer months and will help you with your future plans. Now, if your ed plan is not written for 12 months, a lot of the times the school systems do not feel any obligation to be a part of any kind of training that occurs during the summer. The Mass Commission for the Blind is not opposed to, sponsoring clients to go to summer programs, but we would like for the educational systems to also be part of that, okay, whether we cost share or what have you. So it's a good idea to have your ed plan written to cover 12 months, especially in your sophomore and junior year. One of the other things I like to do is to just find out the ages, because that's going to help me to give you some more information as to what's a good time to become connected with the Commission for the Blind from a VR standpoint. Carl, how old are you?
I'm about to turn 15 on Wednesday.
15. And Ivana?
15.
15 as well. Uh-huh. Ashley?
16.
Okay, Nicole?
18.
Okay. Have all you guys been assigned a worker from the Commission for the Blind?
Yes.
Okay, well, why don't we start with Carl? Give me the name of your worker.
I don't know how to pronounce this.
Inkiella.
Yeah.
Ivana?
Inkiella.
Annie. Okay, great. Annie, yeah. And Ashley?
Lauren Chandler Rose.
Okay, and Nicole?
Is Gail Devitt from there?
Yes. Gail. Okay. Your plan, as of the past 2 to 3 years, has been for clients to get connected with the commission at the age of 14. That way we can start letting you know about the services and getting you situated in terms of whether you want to go off into the world of work or whether you want to go on to college or what have you after high school. It's very good that you've been connected with a worker, and the plan is at this point in your careers you should start thinking about going to some summer programs. I don't know if any of you have been to the Carroll Center?
Yep. Yeah.
The training? Okay, so you have.
I've been to Perkins also.
You've been
to
Perkins.
During the summer, I'm going to actually be working at Perkins this summer for the 5-week program, and I did 3 weeks twice.
Okay. I'm supposed to be going to the Carroll Center this summer, but you know.
Yeah, and you should go. That way you
it's
can network.
Fun.
Yeah, we go. It is. I'm last
fun.
Year.
And you see, you can hear from your peers. They've had a great time. They look forward to taking part in these programs.
Yeah, right.
And learning. And it's a learning opportunity. And Nicole, have you taken part in any summer programs?
I go to summer school.
You go to summer. Okay. Well, what I would suggest for the people who haven't gone to the Carroll Center, mainly you, Carl, is to target the April 22nd as a date for you to go to the orientation program so you can get information about the programs. And the Carroll Center has a couple of programs for adolescents during the summer. It's a youth in transition program. And you stay on campus. It's a beautiful campus out in Newton. There's a Real World of Work program, which runs, and I can give you guys the dates if you're interested as well, because I have it right here on my little cheat sheet. It's a Youth in Transition program from July 20th through August 21st. Then there's the Real World of Work program from July 6th to August 7th. The Transition to College program is from June 22nd to July 31st.
What do they offer in the Real World 21st. Of Work?
I think part of the program they have trial work experiences at different businesses in the area. I know they've utilized St. Elizabeth's Hospital. They've utilized departments at Boston College. So they provide you with hands-on practical experience as part of that program. Mm-hmm. Plus, they also show you how to obviously use the various office equipment that you'd be utilizing in the workplace. So it's kind of a very practical, hands-on program. But definitely feel free to ask the Carroll Center for more information about that, because I don't profess to be an expert on their training programs. But they're all beneficial, I'll tell you that much. You learn a lot from the folks at the Carroll Center, as well as Perkins. I'm not here to advocate for any one particular program either. It's whatever best suits your needs is the important piece. There's also a program that I think most consumers who are thinking about going on to college should definitely look into, and that's Computing for College. It's a two-week session, and they have two separate sessions for that. It's July 6th and July 17th, and then there's August 10th through August 21st. So you have your choice as to which component you want to be part of.
Is that Carroll or Perkins?
Carroll. These are all Carroll Center.
Okay.
These are all Carroll Center programs. The final one on here for adolescents would be Carroll Kids and Teens.
Did that?
It's July 6th through August 14th.
Is now, it like one week's for younger kids and then
that's
for older kids? Yeah.
And then we come back and forth. Mm-hmm. You get to go home and then we come back and then go home again.
At least I was there last year, so I basically saw everything like carried out. So
this particular program, it sounds to me like it's really for the young kids. It sounds like it's for kids who are like 8, 10, in that age range, 12.
I think the oldest person there that I saw was like 16 or 17.
In which program?
The Carroll Kids.
Because it's Carroll Kids.
It varies, okay.
Flesh. Carroll Teens.
Yeah, there is.
It's because like they do stuff with the kids during the day. They go home, they come back and forth, and then the older kids tend to sleep over and work more on technology and stuff. Okay.
I notice a couple of the participants here using devices, Braille and Speak, Type and Speak, well, Braille and Speak for the most part. And give me the correct name of your device, Ivana.
A Braille Sense.
And Ashley?
Braille Note.
Braille Note. These are all devices for note taking.
Correct.
Yeah,
quickly
well, that's
taking
primary
notes.
Primary.
Correct.
Primary.
Yeah, but I do whatever else.
But they do like everything else that a computer does too.
Now, Carl, are you familiar with any of these devices?
I am familiar with the Braille and Speak and the Braille Light. I have seen the Braille Plus Manager.
Awesome.
I haven't used that yet, but you know, because my teacher is still trying to get me to work on my editing commands with the Braille Light, and you know, I want to learn how to use the email on the Braille Light, and you know.
Carl, I have a favor to ask of you. At least talk to your parents about getting you involved in the orientation program on April 22nd and try to get involved with the Carroll Center as soon as possible. Funds are tight throughout the state, so it's really, sponsorship-wise, it's tough. You should talk with your school system.
They should at least have their name in right now so Carl can be in the summer. And then make sure you go to the orientation. It's a must. And then your parents and yourself will just love it and hopefully get it.
Using devices like the Braille Note and the Braille Sense can aid you a lot in the classroom, but note-taking is also going to help you when you get out into the world of work. And it's a great note-taking tool. Sighted folks use relies on pen and paper. Machines like that, who knows what's going to come out next in terms of technology. It's constantly evolving. It's constantly changing. And the sooner you can get connected with technology,
the better.
Better. Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, you do courses. In these 5 weeks, you have to do courses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like Fabian said, then you learn the technology and other things. But there's tons of fun things to do.
Oh, my God.
Rock climbing. So much fun.
Sailing, right? You do the community boating stuff.
That's on weekends.
Boating,
that's on weekends.
Rock climbing, all types of
horseback
stuff.
Horseback riding, canoeing,
cooking,
everything.
Like everything under the sun.
Or if you go to Perkins, you've been to Perkins before, the outreach weekends. Well, if you go during the 3-week programs, you do access sports on the Charles River, biking, rock climbing there, water surfing, whatever you call it.
Windsurfing.
I fell in the water actually doing that.
I'm really good.
I don't suggest anybody do that ever again.
That's a scary thought. Fall in the water.
In the Charles River. It was disgusting.
Access Sports America has it where Ashley went to a camp where they had an outrage where somebody was actually windsurfing, but the kid got a feeling of windsurfing so he didn't fall down. Ashley did it so good that they unhooked
the
outrage and she windsurfed herself.
Yeah.
You go, girl.
I've flipped the entire board over once, but that's okay.
And they obviously have on the life vest and so on.
Yeah. You'll see, but it's just a thought.
Well, the whole thing was that this guy was going around me. He was just trying to see how good my balance was. Uh-huh. He was going around me with one of those like little pontoon boats, and he was making waves, and he was trying to see how much I could stand. Uh-huh. And then I just decided to jump, and I flipped the whole board over.
No, I was like,
I was thinking.
I was
bocce and bowling.
Bocce. Bocce. Okay. And bowling. Great.
And she's got a gold belt.
Yellow belt. You do karate as well?
Yeah.
Good. Good. Okay. Wonderful. What else can I tell you about about MCB? One thing I will say in terms of, and this is more of a personal comment, each individual counselor at the commission has a different style. But in terms of the services we provide, it's the same. And the more information a consumer or client has to request services, the better off you are. So I always try to get clients to get involved with like the Carroll Center or Perkins, so you get an idea as far as the different services that are available. So when you're having a conversation with a counselor like myself, you can suggest different things that you think apply to your specific needs. Because not every service that's available out there in the non-visual world would apply to your situation. But it's good for you to have the knowledge or the information, what services are available, so you can advocate for yourself. And that's always the best way. It's the best approach to utilize any rehab agency. The more information you have that you and your family have, the easier it is for you to advocate for services. Not all the time a counselor is going to come in and rattle off every service under the sun, because there's so many and they change from time to time. Okay? So always bear that in mind. Inky's style is different from mine. It's different from Annie's. It's different from Lauren. It's different from, you know.
So it, like, MCB hooks people up with stuff. Do you guys have an employee, like a Touch the Future program like what we're doing?
Yes, we do.
You guys actually called me to join the youth board. It hasn't started yet.
You should definitely. That's
yeah, I'm doing. It's next at the end of this month, actually.
I think it was canceled the last time on account of snow.
Yeah.
It's the Youth Advocacy Board or something. Yes, we're trying to re-implement that. And it's a number of skilled individuals that are on it. So definitely take advantage of it, because it's a good way to network. And it's a good way also to have a voice in how services are delivered at the commission. To get back to Judy's question, Cheryl Cummins deserves a lot of credit for this. When Cheryl worked for the commission, she implemented an internship program. And when it started out, it only had maybe about three or four participants. It has grown now to last year we had over 40 participants in the internship program. And interns work during the summer at different private sector industries as well as public. And sometimes these positions transition to permanent placements. And it's a very, very good program. Now, the way that ties into sort of training at Perkins and the Carroll Center is that the training you'd get at the Carroll Center would be utilized in these internship programs. That's a very good program to get involved in, the internship program, summer internship program at MCB. Okay, and your counselors know about it. And once you express an interest, especially junior, I think we target juniors and seniors. And you can do it for 2 years, you can do it as long as there's an interest. And I think you have to be 16, but yeah, so at 16 you can get involved in the internship program.
Is the internship Monday through Friday?
Yes, usually.
How many hours?
It's about 20 hours a week, but you can tailor it. You can, if the organization that you're connected with offers an internship that's 35 or 40 hours, by all means, it could be a full-time internship. We give you a stipend of about $1,000, and it's broken up into two increments of $500 apiece. I bite my tongue as I say this, because knowing the budget situation in the state, you know, it's going to impact services. We'll see how that goes. It's been very valuable. When Joey was a student at Bridgewater State College, he actually worked with me, and we got him his internship at Spalding Partners. But he worked actually at Mass General, and that internship turned into a part-time position with benefits. Joey Buzon. He came in last year and spoke to the group. So I'm sorry, I thought maybe people...
How many years did he go to Bridgewater State?
Graduated from Bridgewater State. He's now a rehab teacher with the commission. Okay, and he's one of our real success stories who came up through high school, was one of the first people to participate actually in the internship program. He's been appointed to spearhead the youth advisory council that you're going to be a part of.
Yeah.
Ivana.
Okay.
And he's a good guy, a lot of information. He's given speeches at different forums, and really motivated and interesting guy to talk to. So that's the internship program, and I'm glad Judy brought that up because that's one of the key things I wanted to talk about. And that's a program
that's
that we started, I would say, maybe it's 4 years now. Well, actually, it's probably a little longer than that. It's probably about 6 years, actually. Cheryl worked, when she worked for the commission, she worked in the Office of Informational Services, OIS, and that was one of her projects. To get the commission more out into the community. And she, you know, spearheaded the start of this, her and I think someone else in the OIS department, I would believe it was Joe Weiss, but Cheryl really took the lead in getting, meeting up with the employees and connecting counselors and the interns to the employees. And since then it took off, and it's one of our really result-oriented programs. It really leads to work and clients getting connected with employees and developing their resume and going on to, you know, land jobs after school and so on.
Doesn't Mass Commission help with, like, getting you into colleges and stuff too?
But not necessarily getting you into college, but
like, helping you with, like, when you, after you apply, like, funding and, like, orientation mobility and services, like Braille technology, stuff like that.
Yep. We definitely do. We refer to that as the college sponsorship program. And basically we provide a prorated tuition reimbursement based on the going rate within state in the state college system. Currently that rate for tuition per semester is a little over $5,000 a semester. We provide you with reader fees and also books and supplies funding as well. And one of the interesting things that have happened with books and supplies is that usually in the past, most students would buy their books from the bookstores on campus. But with the advent of the internet and different online sites to buy,
right,
Amazon.com and
yeah,
these
yeah.
different things, students are getting creative in buying their books outside of the universities. So what we've had to do is not always write a purchase order to the bookstore at the university, but to write it to the student.
Uh-huh.
So then you pay for your books, you keep your receipts, and then you submit those receipts to your caseworker. And that's something new that has started up more over the last 5 years. How many of you are thinking about going on to college?
Yep.
I'm in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Why are you going to college in
I'm
Las Vegas?
I'm going to college.
Really?
Yeah.
They have
an
They have a community out there.
Sounds like
it's
a fun
like its own little city, and it's with mostly Down syndrome people, but it is amazing. It's like an apartment building, and they have their own mall, they have everything right there, and they do take them shopping, and they keep them up and take them out to jobs and everything else. But I haven't really looked into it because you have to be 18 to live there. Turned 18, so. But she liked the place. We have seen the place. And she talks about Auntie Dawn, but the woman that lives with Auntie Dawn, she's one of the bus drivers, and that's how we found out about it. And she said, it's amazing. It's just amazing what they do for them. Every other year, we go out there or they come here. This year, it's their year to come here.
Oh, okay.
So we're waiting. My son has one more year of college, and then we are actually thinking about moving out there, but we're not definite. Still a few years away.
Carl, what are your thoughts about after high school?
I am planning to have a job there. I want to go to RCC.
Okay.
I'm thinking about having two jobs, a TVI and a DJ, you know.
Okay, DJ, okay. I've heard that come up quite a bit with participants in this program.
Oh, so yeah.
Else now see you
okay,
with a DJ.
Nothing wrong DJs with that.
Emerson is a very good school for that sort of
thing. I've heard.
Yeah.
I went to Boston Arts Academy last year.
Okay.
I got in, but, you know, they said it wasn't like they expected, you know, because they figured, you know, how my grades were. And I didn't do so good last year. I'm going to be honest.
There's a co-worker of ours by the name of Richard Chapman. He works in the client advocacy program. It's called the CAPS program for short. And he did some work in radio prior to coming on board with the commission. He's been with the commission for probably say about 20 years. He was there when I got there. I've been with the commission now going on 14 years.
Nice.
Think about it. But, you know, also think of transitional things that you have an interest in and you want to do as well.
Yeah.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
I just recently did a training at MCB with a co-worker and the other person who I was planning to bring today with me on soft skills. And it's all about, you know, preparation prior to the interview, you know, researching the company, making sure your resume is in order, no typos, and then once you do on the interview with the firm handshake and, you know, acknowledgement of the person, eye contact, sitting appropriately, no slouching, no folding of the arms, that sort of thing. And then what you do after the interview in terms of like a thank you letter and those things. Ivana, what are your thoughts about college?
My top choice in school is actually Emerson. My second is Wheelock. I want to have a dual major. Do it in 5 years. I want to major in communications and broadcast journalism.
Oh, great. Just an idea. This gentleman who is he's an admissions counselor at, he's either at Simmons or at Wheelock. I'm drawing a blank as to which one. Paul Hastings. He used to work at the Carroll Center. He was their program coordinator. He would be a good person for you to meet with and just talk to about, you know, the services the college has to offer. Northeastern University has an excellent student disability center.
Her sister does.
My sister's going there in the fall, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
The head of that is a dean, Dean Ruth Bork. And she's excellent. They provide a lot of services. They do the advanced notification to the professors, you know, notifying the professors that there's someone in their classroom that has a disability that might need extra time with tests and with some of the course requirements. Mm-hmm. So it's good beforehand to always meet with the Student Disability Center. UMass Boston also has a very good Student Disability Center.
Also. Yeah.
And they can make your experience, your college experience, very rewarding by having someone who can advocate for you, someone you can turn to for advice. You know, they kind of know the lay of the land and can point you in the right direction and provide you with good guidance. Okay. Ashley?
I was kind of thinking, like, either maybe Bridgewater State College or maybe even Emerson, too. I was thinking about going into, like, maybe communications or computer science or something like that.
Good.
I think I might end up being in the same classes.
Bridgewater State, like, yeah. I said, Joey's an alum. Joey Buzon is an alum of Bridgewater State.
I went and talked to some people in the disability services department, like, last year, but it was kind of a bad time because it was, like, during finals or something.
Okay.
So they told us to, like, make another appointment because they couldn't really, like, talk to us that long because they had to help other people that needed, like, assistance with finals.
With testing, exactly, yeah, that would be, yeah. One thing to keep in mind is to the next ed plan that you have, Shields?
Year to year. Plan is year to year.
Year to year. And yeah. Is it written for just the 8 months or 10 months of the school year? Or is it written for the calendar year?
It's calendar year.
Has anyone heard of the program at Children's Hospital? It's operated out of Children's Hospital. It's called it's the Institute for Community Inclusion. They actually operate out of two places. They operate from UMass Boston and at Children's Hospital. The Institute for Community Inclusion, they offer a program that's called the Work Experience Program. And different agencies, the commission as well as Mass Rehab, DMR, where you can get funding to go to a 6-month program called the Work Experience Program through the Institute for Community Inclusion. They'll find you employment on campus at Children's Hospital and some of the different departments. But definitely speak with the folks you need to about the Work Experience Program at Children's. It's a very good program. And it's good on the resume. And I've had people work at Children's in the Shipment Receiving Department, in medical records, in transportation. And you get to, you know, just be around the hospital, traveling around, and learning a job.
Can I actually get the gentleman's name again who went to Bridgewater State?
Joey Buzon, and Buzon is spelled B-U-I-Z-O-N.
Does he have, like, an email address or anything that, like, he would care?
But it would be jbuzon@state.ma.us. Another valuable resource in the community is also, like, the Lions Clubs in the different communities. They can help out with the acquisition of equipment and different things like that. They do a very good job in terms of charitable donations and assistance and things of that nature. In working with ICI, I work with a wide range of disabilities, whereas at MCB I work specifically with people who are visually impaired. Working with ICI, I did have the opportunity to job coach a client who worked for a car dealership, and his job was involved in transporting the cars from different dealers and things of that sort. And it gives you the mindset and approach that everybody can work. There's a job out there for everybody. Just It's a matter of getting employers to think outside the box and for job coaches and job developers to be somewhat creative. One of my co-workers at Children's helped develop a delivery service with Auburn Pine down in the South Shore Plaza, Braintree. Okay. Where they delivered food to the different stores. And the way the job was created was the job developer went to the different stores to say, how many of you guys order food on a regular basis in the morning from Auburn Pine? They develop a menu. The workers, we had two young ladies doing the job. They would go to the different stores, take the orders, come back, place the orders at the counter, get the deliveries marked off, and then take them back to the stores. And that was a part-time job. They looked forward to it. They got out of their residential setting, got into the community, did real work. Wow. And one of the other things that I should mention is always feel that there's room at the table for everyone in the vocational process. There's room at the table for the parents, for the consumer, and for friends, for significant people in that person's life, because everyone has networks that they can rely on for potential job leads. Don't leave it solely up to the caseworker or the job developer or one-stop career center. Get involved in the process. Try not to bump heads with folks. Just be there as a facilitator to aid the process along. A lot of times you'd find that caseworkers kind of shy away once clients hit the age of 18, you do need the client's consent to really share information with their parents. But once you give that consent that your family members should be involved, I think it's a healthy thing. And you definitely want people involved in your rehab process that have your best interests at heart. Okay, and always do that because you run into a lot of walls trying to find jobs. And, you know, the more we work at that, to get employers to open up their minds and really open up their workforce and get people work, the better it is. I'll kind of end on that note.
In the interview process, it's very important to establish eye contact. That's a little bit of a problem for some people. What do you have to suggest for compensating for not being able to establish eye contact?
Depending on your comfort level, you might want to let the interviewer know from time to time you may not always focus in that person's direction, but it's not that you're not paying attention, it's based on your disability. It's a question of kind of disclosure, but let's be honest. Let me say this, if you're blind, okay, which is different from being visually impaired, it's already out there. For someone who's sighted, when you walk in that door, it's already out there. So it's not a stretch for you to openly say to that interviewer, you know, during the course of the interview, if you find that my head is focused in one direction, it's not that I'm not paying attention, that's just part of my disability. No one can hold that against you.
Mm-hmm.
So but you should mention it because some might take offense, like Ivana.
Yeah.
I would assume that she could see me. I don't know if anybody's seen The Last American Idol. There was a young gentleman who got on and sang last, and he was visually impaired. And he got on, and he's standing straight, so he was actually focusing on the two women, which he didn't know were right in front of him. Finally, when Simon had mentioned something, when he was off to the side, the gentleman did look over at Simon. But I would have to say that most of the people there actually thought the gentleman could see them. And even to the point where he came out, he had his yellow slip because he was going to Hollywood, and his friends and family congratulated him. He turned to Ryan Seacrest, who went and put his hand up, give me a high five. Well, the gentleman couldn't see him, but Ryan obviously thought he could. And then he finally said, oh, my hand's right here for a high five, and then he high-fived him. So if you don't mention the fact that you can't...
Yeah, I've had that happen before.
...something against you for that.
I actually, in my town, they do something, not just for visually impaired students, it's for all the kids who want to get jobs, because they do a summer program, the mayor opens a bunch of jobs for the kids. DPW lets them do landscaping, cleaning, and stuff like that. I don't want to be outside, personally. But I did say that I was going to go because they do a little bit of interview process with you, one-on-one with other job employers. And my mom is actually a social worker. So she does that also. So she's like, I think it's good for you to go. So I went, and I didn't have my cane. I don't actually know why I didn't have my cane that day. But I went, and I went in there like everybody else. And I can read large print. It's kind of uncomfortable, but I do read it sometimes. And so I'm talking to the guy, and my eyes don't focus. But I can look at you and think, oh, yeah, she can see. You know, so when I told him after, I said, oh, I don't know if you noticed I was visually impaired. He's like, oh, no, I couldn't. I have no idea. And I said, oh, interesting. But other people say that, yeah, I can look at you and I can tell. But the one thing that you should tell them, I would like tell them or something.
Mm-hmm. And it's a comfort level. It's different for each situation. So it's a matter of knowing the environment you're going into, knowing the interview you're going into, and maybe advocating with your counselor back at your rehab agency, bouncing the idea by them as to how to approach it and coming up with a solution. With Children's Hospital, as a job developer, we always made the contact with the employers. So automatically they would know this person has a disability. They are clients, such as yourself and others at the table, who are going to go to interviews on their own, and the employer may not know. And I would say honesty is the best policy. Find a way during the conversation early on to mention it. And no one's going to hold that against you.
Well, you know, in some cases you don't mention it because sometimes you think people would know just by looking at Ash that she was fine. Ash went to physical therapy for 2.5 years, and not until she was on NBC Nightly News, Brian Williams segment,
wow,
did this woman who was the receptionist know that she was blind. She says, oh my God, I would have never even.
But I was thinking of another way, Jeffrey, of compensating for eye contact. Is posture is really important. Just like sitting up straight, mm-hmm. You know.
Right. Like, even if your eyes are not looking at them, if your head is in that direction,
right,
you don't have to total eye contact, but if your head's in that direction,
yeah, right, just you get it.
Because even people that some people that can see always don't make eye contact.
No, it's true.
It really depends on the individual with the disability, who's visually impaired or blind, because there are people who have issues with focusing when the eyes actually do move around. That can be, you know, distracted to some interview.
What do we consider the other soft skills? The sitting up straight, the firm handshake, right?
Dress appropriately.
Skill.
Appropriate hygiene, making sure that you don't wear anything over the top, anything too bright. Like yesterday, I had on a bright orange, look like a Halloween turtleneck, but it's warm.
Oh. But you wouldn't wear it in an interview.
I wouldn't wear that in an interview. You want to be somewhat
concerned.
Yeah, there's
a darker color. It's like, right. Yeah. You don't want to wear like a hot pink shirt.
And keep the cologne or perfume to a minimum. Nothing too overpowering.
Yeah, chemical sensitivities. Yeah. That'd be kind of bad.
Also, tone of voice, eye contact, appropriate questions.
Knowing what you're interviewing for is important.
Right.
And another thing is doing your research. They're going to ask you some questions that might be a little bit off the wall. All they want you to do is not give them an off the wall answer. They want you to just be honest. So just give an honest answer. And if it's something that you don't know, the most honest answer is,
I don't know. And I'll get back to you.
I think another thing is confidence, because I know when we went to fill out the job applications for her, she knows the answers, but sometimes she'll just talk very, very softly, which makes people think you don't know the answers. And I was just listening to her, like when she speaks loudly and directly. And I think that's another thing. You have to have confidence. I mean, if you want the job and you know you can do it, you have to let whoever's interviewing you know you have the confidence that you can do the job.
Aside from the internship program, at the commission we are planning to do once a year a soft skills training. Okay, we did it for the first time, myself and my one of the directors, Thelma Williams,
uh-huh,
and a former consumer. I guess I could say former consumer. David Brewington worked on it, and we only had two participants. And the next time around, I think what we have to do with it is look at the time that we offer the soft skills training. Do it maybe during a break in the school year, school calendar year. Through the counselors really should put the word out, and we can open it up to people who were.
Because the Mass Commission doesn't have like a website where the kids can go and check out.
Yes, we do. It's on the state website. You access the state website, stateofmass.gov or whatever it is, mass.gov, and then look for MCB as one of the departments, and then there's an MCB page. And I think we're working to develop our own web page now.
My mom wanted me to learn how to do some stuff around the house because I was just kind of telling her, like, I want to live in a dorm. She wants me to, oh, you can commute. You know, that's why you have your mobility and stuff. But I'm like, maybe I want to go away. So I went to the Perkins 3-week program to see how it was. And you lived in a dorm. There was staff all around, but you kind of got to express your independence and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But my rehab counselor from MCB said that there's someone that could come out to your house. And I've had someone come and do the washing machine so I can wash my own clothes and stuff like that.
A rehab teacher.
Yeah, a rehab teacher. But the person I kept scheduling, I don't know, like she got sick and then she left the job. or whatever. Is that still available to do like the stove and stuff like that?
To mock the different home appliances?
Yeah.
It's still available. That would be through the rehab teaching department. Now, with MCB, we basically provide services in three major areas. There's orientation and mobility, low vision evaluations, and then there's rehab teaching. Now, basically, rehab teaching is having someone come out and work with you in your home to make you independent in the home, mocking various home appliances, showing you how to pour hot liquids, that sort of thing. Rehab teachers also do some of the routine or preliminary training on technology with computers and different software programs. That would just be a rehab teaching referral. We do provide homemaker services to clients who are over 65. Jeffrey, I see.
Over 65 years?
Over 65 years of age.
Yeah, we do.
The Carroll Center, basically, during one of their programs, they have an independent living program that they offer. They can place you in an apartment. They have an apartment already set up. They'll place you in that apartment, and you have to basically fend for yourself. Ooh. They obviously provide you with the training beforehand on how to work with the stove and the oven and any fears you might have in the kitchen. And then they put you in this apartment with all the ingredients to make a meal that you've already been trained on how to do. And they observe you. And at first you might be hesitant. And you, after a while you realize, well, if I don't make this meal, I'm going to starve. So therefore you get to work. It worked for one of my clients recently. He just went through the
program. I mean, if someone shows me, I can pick it up really easily.
Well, you definitely want to do that prior to moving off to school out of state where you're commuting. Okay?
Yeah.
Being at home and getting home-cooked meals is not a bad thing. Guys, if you ever have questions about technology, call Richie Flint at the commission. He's very knowledgeable about different product. Definitely let your friends know out there about this program, okay? I really would like to see this program go because it's developed, grow. It serves a very useful purpose. It's a way for MCB to get out in the community and interact with adolescents and let them know about the services we provide. It's a good bridge. So, you know, there's no gaps in between when you leave high school and go on to college. You can have the information early on and you can take advantage of the services.